Spring is now available through the American Freedom Radio Network.
Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Mr. John Stoddard Clark, and we're going to be talking about his book, Christian Words and Christian Actions, George W. Bush and the Desecration of Christianity in Modern America, which is certainly a very, very controversial subject, because many, and I would say the majority of evangelical Christians and Christian Catholics support the president in large part because he professes to be a Christian and has promised to bring moral values to our nation. And certainly Christians have been looking for a Christian leader for a long time. Certainly with the first George Bush in the White House, although he said he was pro-life, you looked at his actions and the people who put on the Supreme Court, and you'd never, of course, really believe that he was a Christian. And then, of course, with Bill Clinton, and of course, Bill Clinton went to church and carried a Bible under his arm. And but, of course, we know about Bill Clinton. So, certainly back in 1999, a group of Christians, leading Christians of this country, got together to select a president of the United States that we could be proud of, would bring America back to our moral standard, would put people onto our Supreme Court, who would reverse the moral decline of our society, and of course do away with partial birth abortion, and all of these things that really are changing the very structure of our society. And this group of leading Christians selected George Bush, which of course to me suggested maybe we can't follow the advice of leading Christians, because good people can be so misled by words rather than judging actions. So, well, that is about background, Mr. John Clark. Thanks very much for being with us this morning.
It's an honor, sir.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I've read your book, but I don't know too much about you, who you are.
Well, that's deliberate in a way, because who I am is really not that important.
I know.
But
for my curiosity.
Well, thank you. My background is in law. I was trained as an attorney. I was not a Christian. So I spent a good part of my life learning man's laws. And in about 1997, I became extremely ill with a condition diagnosed as fibromyalgia syndrome, which I had never really heard of. And that was subsequently determined to have been caused by Lyme disease. So I lost my business, my assets. I had to close my law practice. And I almost lost my life because I was in so much agony and pain from the illness and didn't understand it. But instead, I found faith. I came to Christ in my late 30s, and I was baptized on my 40th birthday as a demonstration of my commitment to Him. And now it's easy for me to remember both of my birthdays, of course, my rebirth day. And so that's in a nutshell. I mean, I excelled in law school. I have a brain. God gave it to me to use for His Son. And after becoming a Christian, the more I looked at what was going on in our country and in our government, the more I felt that I needed to try to contribute something spiritually in this battle that's going on, not for worldly gain or worldly reasons, but because I see a lot of harm being done to the body of Christ right now in the name of doing good. And it's very disturbing and upsetting, so I wrote the book, and hopefully I have persuaded you, though I might be preaching to the choir, but hopefully you and others are starting to see that I've marshaled the evidence to prove my contention that George W. Bush has not walked the walk that he promised.
All right. Well, certainly as I read your book, I suspected that, you know, you were coming from some sort of a legal point of view, because you bring up many significant legal issues there, and the book is very well written. And of course, you simply point out that, you know, we can talk all we want to about Christianity, but how do you justify torture? How do you justify a president who says, I'm against torture, but I want legislation passed to allow torture? Or in the same way, I'm against amnesty. I just want the people, to be able to stay here and become citizens other people who come in illegally, but you bring out a lot of things that the Bush administration has done. They say one thing, they do another, and yet they still have the support of the majority of Christians because the president insists that that he is a Christian, and yet, you know, you point out that we judge people by what they do, not necessarily by what they say. What are some of the things that, I mean, really bother you about the Bush administration that make you question whether this is truly a Christian administration?
Well, there could be quite a laundry list there.
Well, that's right. Well, why don't you get started with the laundry list?
Well, and that's why the book, you'll notice, Doctor, is split up by subject areas so that we can, in turn, look at different areas and see, well, okay, George Bush said he's a Christian. He said he was going to do this. Now, what did he actually do, and what does Jesus tell us? Something that you alluded to earlier when you talked about many Christian leaders who have told Christians to follow George Bush, many leading Christians. I think our leading Christian, his name is Jesus Christ, and it's to him that we should all look. And we have to be careful when we talk about judging people, obviously. I don't judge George Bush as going to hell or heaven, and I don't even judge necessarily his heart, but Jesus tells me to judge his actions. So when we do look at judging what people do rather than what they say, we are carrying forward a mandate given to us by Christ and Paul, who told us to rebuke publicly those who said one thing and did another, because all of Christendom depends on that hypocrisy being suppressed. So when I looked at the, and a little bit, this is again kind of a background analysis, when I looked at what was happening in our country, I saw many well-meaning Christians who, in response to the embarrassment of the Clinton administration, wanted some Christian integrity in their government, have probably wanted that for a long time. And then George Bush thought that they had that promise. Well, it's not enough to promise it. One must deliver it. And those Christians who have been misled, having been misled, I submit, would want to know. And they shouldn't follow him blindly, no matter what he does. So we look at what he does, and this is what Jesus tells us to do. So if we look at No Child Left Behind, you'll notice I have a chapter on that. We see a dramatic expansion of the federal government in derogation of our individual rights. The chief issues that if I were to summarize the issues that I have the biggest problem with, it would be the war in Iraq, which cannot be justified in Christ. It would be the use of torture, which you use the word justify. How can we justify the use of torture? Well, we cannot. In a Christian ethic, it cannot be under any pretense or any stretch be justified in Christian doctrine.
Just a moment with John Carr and discussing more about his book, Christian Words.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Larry Adams here, always fighting chaos. I invite you to listen to my fun and informative shows Sunday afternoons at 2, often with fun and informative guests, reminding you to please support all of our sponsors and let them know you heard it here. And encourage others to advertise with 1360, the voice of the lion. I would love to meet with any potential advertisers and sponsors. See you Sunday afternoons at 2 for What Now with Larry Adams.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Back here at the American Freedom Network, and I would like to suggest that people have to begin to able to think clearly. And certainly if you go back to the Nixon administration, Richard Nixon pushed more socialism than any of the Democrats could get through, because of course there was opposition to these ideas of socialism, so Richard Nixon pushed socialism. Ronald Reagan said, "Everything I believe," and yet he expanded the government. He talked about cutting taxes, and he gave us the biggest tax increase in 1986 Americans have ever had. He talked about cutting back on government and a balanced budget. He gave us the largest budget deficits our nation has ever experienced. He certainly talked about opposing communism and the evil empire, and yet he ended up embracing Khrushchev and Khrushchev's plan for a communist world. So, and then, of course, we get to where we are today. And we suddenly find ourselves facing a war with Iran. Why do we want to go to war with Iran? Why, they might develop nuclear weapons. Well, India just developed nuclear weapons. Why aren't we concerned about India? Well, because President Ahmadinejad of Iran is talking about wiping Israel off the face of the map. And let me suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that President Ahmadinejad is a caricature. He looks like he came from Central Casting with a little scruffy beard. He says everything intent upon justifying a third world war. Is everything following a cosmic script? Are we heading into this war? Is President Ahmadinejad simply a figurehead for other powerful forces that are intent upon bringing the world to chaos? And why is our current administration going along with this agenda of plunging the world into a third world war? And I think people have to stop and think how we got into the mess we are today, with a massive expansion of government, massive defect, deficits, you know, and we have a president who professes to be a Christian, who says one thing, I'm against amnesty, and then what does he favor? Why, letting all the people who came here illegally, you know, stay here and become citizens. How can you do both ways? Well, when you've got a group of people who don't think, who simply follow blindly, you can say whatever you want to, and it doesn't matter whether it's contradictory. People hear what they want to hear, and that is the president's against amnesty, or the president, you know, went into Iraq because of the weapons of mass destruction, or we're going to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive. And what's the truth of the matter? We've never really tried to get him, because if we got Osama bin Laden, we'd end the war on terrorism, and we couldn't justify the massive increase in control of the American people. Well, this morning is John Clark. His book, Christian Words and Unchristian Actions. John, you pick up the story from there.
Well, as you know from reading the book, I can have long sentences, too.
Right, go ahead.
Well, thank you. I think what you're hitting upon there, Doctor, is that we seem to have this continuing failure in our country where we look to government for the solutions to the problems that government creates. We look to the problems in education. We're going to expand the federal government, the No Child Left Behind Act, and take away local autonomy to solve the failures of that large bureaucracy. It doesn't work. For Christians, you could hardly fault people for putting faith in their government because they don't have anything else to put faith in. But for governments, for Christians to do so is in derogation of the teachings of the Bible. And we do have an alternative, and we do have a code that you should unify us and that we should look to. What you've pointed out is that we've had a history of presidents who have not delivered on the goods they promised. Does that mean that we keep looking for the future for the same kind of cycle? Well, this is the cycle we have to break. Neither the Democrats nor the Republicans have really served the American people, probably in decades. And we have a failure in our two-party system where we see corporate America and the pursuit of the dollar controlling policy instead of some higher ethicality. And my book is about trying to restore the Christian ethic to the American culture. It has been trod upon, and we call ourselves a Christian nation while we are the world's capital of pornography, pedophilia, alcoholism, and drug abuse, the use of medicines to pacify us, and the manufacture of weapons and arms and exploitation of war. We could go on. It's, my book is not just about George Bush, but it's about America. Is America to call itself a Christian nation and have all that Christian talk and then not be held accountable to the walk? We will be held accountable at the judgment seat of Christ. And we do have a response and an obligation to Him, our Lord, now, in these times, that is independent of, or perhaps in conflict with, our obligations to our nation. And it's time for us to choose whether our loyalties are to God or to our flag. Because when they conflict, we have to make a choice. And right now, they're in conflict.
Point well made. Well, then can we look to the government to encourage Christianity? Should we look to the government to encourage Christianity? And what about the president's faith-based initiative?
Well, in the book I discuss the faith-based initiative, which I think was, again, some flowery words that were not followed through with action. I'll address that issue separately for a moment before answering your broader question. The faith-based initiative was used, really, to do the opposite of what it purported to do. It purported to be something driven by sympathy or compassion towards the poor, was then used to justify cutting or not increasing a number of social welfare programs, and the promised benefits have not been produced. The money promised for the actual faith-based program was not forthcoming, and now we know that the government is attaching all kinds of requirements on the recipients of those funds. So arguably that's a mixture of church and state that shouldn't be broached or tolerated. But the broader issue that you're hitting on is, what is the role for Christians in a worldly government? And it's something that I devote a whole chapter to in the book, and many other Christian writers, greater writers than I, have discussed it, and I include many of their quotations or teachings in that chapter. We have to be highly suspicious any time those of us who call ourselves Christian move for political office. We have to be very suspicious any time we mix darkness and light, and that's what Paul teaches us and Jesus teaches us. And as long as we look to worldly government, which by its nature is sin-cursed, to deliver us, we will always be disappointed. In fact, one could argue that bringing Christianity into politics, it's not likely that politics is going to be harmed by a Christian influence, but Christianity is harmed by a political influence. And many who might otherwise look to Christ see hypocrisy when the two are melted together and turn away from Jesus and turn away from the faith. So Christianity is a much stronger power outside of government trying to influence policy, rather than trying to become part of Caesar's government in order to shape policy. And it historically has been much more of a force for good when it was not compromised by being wedded to a government power. And this is really what Jesus was teaching. He taught us to give Caesar his due. He never taught us, go be good Caesars, you know, go run for government. It is implicitly suspect to mix the two, as this administration more than any other has done. Because you mentioned other Christian presidents, but no president used Christianity the way George Bush did to gain that office.
Well, but should Christians avoid running for political office? And if Christians aren't in government, certainly don't, then we cede the power to the evil people, the people who simply will use politics to advance their own agendas, or certainly the agenda of the corporate establishment that you oppose, and I oppose as well. So what is the Christian's obligation as far as government is concerned?
Well, and that's where it is a delicate issue, and I expected that question. It's a very good question. Stephen Carter is a fellow who wrote a book on the subject. I believe it was called How Politics Trivializes Religion, or something to that effect. I could find the quote for it. And there have been other books, too. A fellow named Doug Bandow wrote a book. So, I mean, this is a big topic. But what I say, I don't say that we should abdicate any involvement in the world. What I say is that we should be highly suspicious of those who pretend to be wearing a Christian mantle and then seeking worldly power or worldly benefits. By definition, who gravitates towards political power? Those who want power. Most of us, the guy fixing a car in his shop or whatever, most of us are happy to just get by. But those often who seek worldly power are the ones that should least be trusted. So, one, we should be suspicious. Two, if somebody says that they're a Christian and they're going into political office, that's not enough. We as Christians should hold them accountable more so than anyone else to that Christian standard. A Christian leader, as you know, is held to a higher standard than a lay person, and it is the lay people or those of us that are followers of Christ who it is incumbent upon us to hold those people accountable. So I suggest that it's an ongoing question as to whether we should have Christians. I mean, let's face it, if I'm a true Christian, I'm going to seminary now. That's where I move. When I want to serve Christ, I look to learn more about the Bible. My knee-jerk reaction is to say, oh, I'm a Christian, so now I'm going to run for political office. We should be critical. We should be looking towards policies rather than candidates. We should follow through on securing those policies regardless of who the candidates are. And as I say, we should be very suspicious for those who have Christ on their lips while they seek Satan's power in worldly government. And we can see what happened here in this government, and people are now hiding behind Romans 13 to protect a quasi-religious leader based on scripture that was not designed to do that at all. I'm getting into another topic area, so I apologize. But hopefully that's responsive. We shouldn't just rubber stamp anyone in their political walk because they say they're a Christian.
Points well made. One of the interesting things, points you make talking about the faith-based initiative is that it started out sounding so good, and yet the man who was, you know, had the job of facilitating this, as you've watched it develop, what is it? He referred to something like the Mayberry Mafia or something.
Machiavellians.
Machiavellians.
They called them.
But the whole idea was that this was not necessarily used to help the people. It was to solidify the Christian base of supporters for the Bush administration. That is a frightening indictment, that they would actually use the money of the faith-based initiative to get major Christian ministries behind them?
Well, let me, you're going to get set me off now. It's one of many frightening indictments, Doctor.
I know it is.
Yeah, you're setting me up for the slam dunk, aren't you?
Absolutely. Okay. But I want you to do it.
Well, we should. When I began researching this book using the combination of my legal training and my Christian faith, I didn't have a predisposed notion to judge or conclude anything about George W. Bush. I just became very disturbed about what I saw and what I heard from him. And the more I dug, the more disturbed I became. And yes, that's why I wrote my book, because it became a frightening indictment in each chapter. And so if we look at the faith-based initiative, it is just of one chapter in many when you see this pattern in George W. Bush. And I submit to those people out there who are Christians who support George W. Bush that are listening right now, read my book. Read the information in my book. Tell me where I'm wrong. Every Christian Republican who has read my book so far has thanked me for writing it, because I am writing it from a perspective of truth, truth-seeking, and not trying to win a partisan agenda. Every single area we look at in the George W. Bush history and in this White House is a man who came to Christ for political advantage, who pursued the religious right for political advantage, who has every single policy that he has couched in Christian terms, where he has, like the faith-based initiative, has had a political motivation. And then you have the most wide-reaching and important developments in modern American society, the war in Iraq and the use of torture. I submit that those are two of the most important developments in modern American history. And neither of those was Christ sought, or was it clothed in Christianity in any way. So we see a pattern of Christianity being used for political goals, and when those political goals are blatantly inconsistent with Christian doctrine, then Jesus is left out of the equation. George W. Bush put Jesus Christ on his bandwagon to try to get into the office of the president, and once he got there, he threw Jesus Christ in the trunk. He threw him in the back seat, and he is not driving our country's bus with Jesus at the helm at all, or even consulted.
So, well, we have real problems in America today. You know, so many of our ministers, encourage their people openly or subtly to vote for the Republican Party, because the Republican Party is going to address the abortion issue. And the trouble is, the Republicans that control both houses, the Senate, you know, the House for many years, almost a decade, and the presidency for the last 5-6 years, and yet they've not said anything about abortion. They've done anything about family values. Are we a more moral nation or less moral nation than we were 5 years ago?
Angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply has something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval, with a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133, 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
When you look at the sky, it seems relatively empty. Yet somewhere beyond that vast sea of blue lies Wild Blue, affordable high-speed internet via satellite. For as little as $49.95 a month with free installation, Wild Blue brings you the world and your connection to it. Imagine surfing the web with lightning-fast speeds up to 30 times quicker than dial-up. Suddenly, you can send large emails in a flash. You can even download music or watch videos online. Plus, Wild Blue comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Finally, just about everyone under the sun has access to affordable high-speed internet. And like the clear blue sky, that's a beautiful thing. Wild Blue, high-speed internet out of the blue.
Make the move to Wild Blue Country. Call 1-866-WILD-BLUE today and get free installation. That's 1-866-WILD-BLUE or see your local dealer. Must have Southern line of sight. Speeds may vary. Price of first value back. Promotional plan details subject to change at any time. See wildblue.com for full details.
Hi, this is Michael at KHNC Radio. And I'd like to stop for a moment and talk about Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. You know, those little things around the house, the yard, even the car, they can pile up and we can all fall behind. That's where Andy's comes in. They can help you with remodeling, plumbing, decks, floor tile, auto and home upholstery, woodworking, drywall, and painting, and so much more. Andy's done a lot of work for us here at the radio station and at home, so we can highly recommend them. That's Andy's Painting and Handyman Services at 815 37th Avenue Court in Greeley. You can call them at 970-576-5333. That's 970-576-5333. Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. Tell them KHNC sent you. And thanks.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. I guess this morning, as John started, Clar, his book is Christian Words and Christian Actions. And, John, how can people get your book? Do you have a web page? Any numbers you'd like to get out?
Well, thank you. Yes. The website is www.christianwords.us, which also gives a little more information about the summary of the book and a little more background about me. And the book can be purchased for those who don't have internet access at 877-421-7323. It's a Christian publisher called Wine Press Publishing Group.
Now, I want you to repeat the number again.
I would, yes.
On radio, you have to always repeat it at least twice, usually three times, so people could get it written down.
Yes, thank you. And I was about to. I was given a little filler so they can find a pencil.
Okay.
They were scrambling. But it's 877-421-7323. That's 877-421-7323. And that link is also available through the website at christianwords.us.
All right, very good. In fact, I've got my pen out here. Give it one more time.
877-421-7323.
7323. Okay, fine. Well, anyway, of course, we've got a real problem, and I think that people really don't understand that the miracle of America was that we were to limit the power of government. The federal government was to be totally limited and taking care of life, liberty, and property, and the poor, and everything else was to be at the state and the local level. And people then were to be ruled by God. In other words, if the individual would be ruled by God, we didn't need a powerful government to provide for us. That was the secret of America, that we were to be self-governing individuals. Well, there are people who have a different version, a vision. They want to govern us. They want power over our lives, and so they're centralizing all power with government and violating the various concepts of our Constitution. Mr. Clark's book really is a fascinating analysis. It goes into many things having to do with economics and philosophy and philosophy of government. And so it's much more than simply an analysis of George Bush, although that is the underlying theme, that the president is saying one thing, he's doing another. And, of course, most people think that somehow God is a Republican. And as you point out, both political parties are really betraying us. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it would. And one of the most heartening things I see today is that more Americans, I think, are starting to recognize that. We have so much happening in the world today which is dark, which is evil, which is intimidating and oppressive. And yet, in the face of all of that, I see the body of Christ glowing like a shining star. I see true Christians coming together cross-denominationally and helping one another, and I see that glory of Christ shining very powerfully within that. When we look to government instead of God, as you say, I would make this analogy, and I haven't before, but I would venture to do this. In biblical counseling, one of the things we study is that, and a lot of what is done by biblical counselors is in the area of marital conflict. One of the things we study is that if I want to have a good relationship with my spouse, being husband or wife, then first my relationship with God has to be correct. If I have a good relationship with God, then things will work forward for me. And I need to worry about my independent or individual relationship with God first. And then my wife will fall in line, or my husband if I'm a woman, and then my kids, et cetera, and so forth. Similarly, as a country, you're quite right. We should be working on our individual relationship with God, and not interposing our government or our elected leaders or other worldly people in between us and that relationship. When you talk about the trouble we've had with abortion, and what that's been a real problem in this country, and in some ways the religious right has abdicated their duty to Christ in pursuing abortion so vehemently. Now, that may not sound at first blush like that makes sense, but let me explain that. Abortion should not and must not be an issue that trumps all other issues. Electing someone who's going to fight abortion, who instead will take you into war and the use of torture and precipitating the entire Muslim world hating America, well, abortion didn't get very far in that agenda, and the other issues count. So in other words, abortion is not the only Trump issue that trumps all others. And one of the reasons I feel that way is that I'm not too worried, as much as I am against abortion, I'm not too worried about an unborn child who's killed not being not going to heaven or being loved by God. God is there for the unborn. But what about those of us that are in our 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s who are walking the world, the earth now, and support the use of war or torture to achieve America's imperialistic and materialistic worldly ends? Those people, unlike the unborn, could go to hell. Now, this ties in with the broader question you just asked me. Some have criticized me for criticizing George W. Bush, that he's God's chosen. Well, I would submit that if I'm correct in what I've discovered and tried to document in that book, because that book isn't just trying to necessarily win an argument, it's trying to establish the proof and the documentary evidence in scriptures and elsewhere for people to look to reach their own conclusions. And if they do that, and they reach the conclusions I've reached, then we should perhaps be more concerned that those who follow George W. Bush may be imperiled spiritually. And for that, I cite as one of number of resources, but I would cite one of my favorite passages on this subject, which is Acts 20:29, in which case Paul is credited with having said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul felt so strongly about this that those would come from within the flock, from within your own selves, so from within the church of purported Christians. And he cried about it every day and night for 3 years trying to warn us, and these words have been passed down to us through our Holy Bible so that we have the Word of God to use as our sword to protect us right now. We need to hold our leaders, whether Democrat or Republican, accountable to our first and foremost relationship with our God and with our Jesus Christ. And he is the one who gives us the guidance. He is the one who gives us the laws. He is the one who gives us the direction if we simply look there.
And how do you feel about limiting the power of the federal government? Of course, you talk a lot about being concerned about the poor and perhaps what's happening as far as our economy is concerned, blacks, Hispanics. Can we solve this by giving more power to the federal government, or should we limit the power of the federal government and try to start it, solve our problems at the state and local level?
Well, these are, again, you get into some sticky wickets there, as you know, and because...
Absolutely.
Well, is there a difference between conservatism, liberalism, and being Christian? I submit that there were not two Jesus Christ on the cross, one liberal and one conservative. And much of the debate, and where is he going with this, you might ask, but much of the debate about the role and size of government is a worldly conservative slash liberal debate. And in that regard, I'm certainly a conservative. But if I find that I'm conservative in such areas and that might be in conflict with Scripture, then I defer to Scripture. So what I would say is this. I believe in reducing the size of government. I believe strongly that the federal government in America today is a runaway New World Order government that is taking away our rights, taking away our constitutional protections, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it needs to be stopped and reined in. Having said that, when you have a structure in a country where you are seeking social justice, which Christianity is seeking social justice, and you have government, then it is a proper, if you're going to use government to implement resources, then you should take care of the poor. That's what I argue.
We'll be back in just a moment with Mr. John Barr. I'm talking about his book, Christian Words on Christian.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Hi, I'm Ann Johnson, owner of Brightside Health Food Store. I believe my ministry is to help heal the sick and that God is allowing me to reach people through superior products. StressX has over 45 years of research by 1,200 scientists and 3,300 studies. StressX has proven itself superior when compared to other products and passes all requirements for Olympic athletes. Call me at 303-833-2784 to find out how StressX boosts your energy, improves performance, increases endurance, and provides greater mental alertness. That's 303-833-2784.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making their way, the only way they know how.
Well, Dr. Jan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Mr. John Stoddard Clark. His book, Christian Words and Christian Actions, a fascinating book. And, of course, it's talking a lot more about really the Christian's obligation as far as government is concerned, and than it is about George Bush, although it certainly the recurrent theme is George Bush, does he manifest Christian action? I think the action we have to ask is, would a Christian really lead us into World War III, into a war with Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden, into a war with Iraq because Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, and now into a war with Iran because they may be trying to build a nuclear weapon when they're surrounded with people, countries that have nuclear weapons? Well, what's the solution to the problem, John? We have a real problem, no question, and certainly we have the church as a whole. Most of our mega churches are having regular sessions, telephone conferences with Karl Rove, who's mobilizing the major Christian churches, the mega churches, in support of the president's policies. And so many of the Christians that I talk to are ready to go to war with Iran. What sort of madness do we face today?
We face a madness that was foreseen in the scriptures, and that's why Paul spent 3 years crying over it, trying to warn us. Because if Paul and Jesus tell us that in the end times those will come who will purport to be Christians, but will mislead good Christian children, then that's what's going to happen. And you could see how that would be upsetting to Paul and Jesus, and why it is that we have an obligation to try to alert people. The main reason that it's happening is that most Americans are woefully unfamiliar with their scripture. When you ask about solutions to these problems, I would point as a Christian that all solutions to all problems should be biblically based. And the first step I would say would be to correctly address the problem. America will not have a correct Christian response to a problem which is mislabeled and misidentified. So when we look at Afghanistan, Iran, and Iraq, then the first step might be to look at the truth that we armed Afghanistan and the Taliban. We put the Taliban in power. We armed Osama bin Laden. We gave him finances. We armed Iran. We gave them their nuclear technology. We gave them massive armaments in the 1950s and 60s and 70s after we illegally put the Shah back in power there. Then we wonder why they don't like us. Saddam Hussein, we armed him after our bumbling involvement in Iran fell apart, and we needed to have a counterbalance in the Middle East to Iran, so we empowered Saddam Hussein, and we see where he went and all the people he killed. If America's hands are dirty in these foreign actions, then we're not going to find a solution unless we look at the blood on our own hands. And telling the American people that the Muslim extremists hate us because we are free is a lie, a misstatement of history and fact, and does not begin to even work towards a biblical or other solution because it hasn't even truthfully identified the problem.
Very well said. You articulate that beautifully. And I think that's absolutely right. Unless we understand how we got in the mess we are, how can we possibly, try to get out of it? And this is a spiritual problem. Everything is spiritual. We're involved in a spiritual battle. And that is what really energizes everything that's going on today.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I just said amen. You're right.
Okay. Are you in seminary at the present time?
Well, I've been accepted, and I'm debating whether to pursue it starting this next month or continue to work on this book, which is my ministry, and I could spend 60 hours a week just trying to promote this book, because there are many out there in the mainstream press who will not look at my book because it's a Christian book, and there are many out there in the Christian press will not look at my book because they've already decided that George Bush is their savior. I beg to differ. Jesus Christ is my savior. But I do think that you're quite right that it is a spiritual battle. And for instance, to look at this, because this is, some people would say, well, all you're doing is criticizing. You don't propose solutions. Well, again, we need to properly identify the foundation of our problem before we even try to look at solutions. If we looked at, and we don't blame George Bush for everything that's happened in the past and in failed American policy, but the American people are responsible for their leaders. We will hold the bag for the consequences of what they do. And if it's been 30 years since we've held one accountable, well, then it's about time we started doing it again. If we looked at the history, and let's just pick Iran. In Iran, not only in 1953 did we overthrow the democratically elected leader of that country, flying in the face of our purported, our supposed interest in spreading democracy. But what we did was very un-Christian, because after 1953, we did nothing for the hearts and minds or welfare of the Iranian people. And they loved America before then. And we allied ourselves with the British imperialists, and that's the way we are now perceived. If we had acted from 1953 till 1978, when the Shah was thrown out and our embassy was overtaken, if we had acted as a Christian nation, if we had cared about the welfare of the people of Iran, who we said we cared about, who we said we were protecting from communism, if we had actually walked the walk instead of just talked the talk, we would have a major ally in Iran right now. We would not have had the Muslim extremist movement that we've had over the last... I mean, we could, in many ways, lay the whole extremism of Islam success right now at the feet of failed American policy. If over the last 30 years we had had these Christian American policies in the Philippines with Marcos and all of her shoes, in Nicaragua, maybe they wouldn't have turned away from Somoza and towards the Sandinistas if we hadn't supported a dictator in Nicaragua all these years. And I don't mean to throw out so many different facts at once, but the book does try to discuss some of these things, and not to make great conclusions about the past, but to say about the future, we must start as a nation walking the walk that we say we're going to walk. And the first step in that is to hold our leaders accountable to the walk that they said they'd walk and that we demand from them. We ultimately bear responsibility for George Bush and for the lawyers we blame for the lawsuits that we file. We ultimately will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and amen to what you're saying. It is a spiritual battle. Everything going on, and everything I discuss in the book, and everything going on in these worldly events right now is the battlefield between good and evil that we are a part of, whether we like it or not.
Amen to that. And, of course, basically, the only way we're going to solve any of our problems is a revival in this country. And the only way we're going to have a revival is when people begin to realize that they have a problem. And just as John, you know, certainly his life was transformed when he faced a serious illness. Well, we've got an illness here in America. Our whole nation, it's an illness of our body politic, and we better let the people know. Anyway, God bless you. It's a great book. Thank you so much for being with us.
God bless you, sir, and thank
Bye-bye.
You so much.
Larry Adams here, always fighting chaos. I invite you to listen to my fun and informative shows Sunday afternoons at 2, often with fun and informative guests, reminding you to please support all of our sponsors and let them know you heard it here, and encourage others to advertise with 1360, the voice of the lion. I would love to meet with any potential advertisers and sponsors. See you Sunday afternoons at 2 for What Now with Larry Adams.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at Denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
45. Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if any of you already believe that we have an important message, we hope you'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and considering joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to really get a grasp of what we're up against. We started carrying a new book. It's called Hostage to the Devil. Hostage to the Devil. It's a book we first read back in 1980, and when I say we, I mean I read it, my wife read it, and my wife's story is really fascinating. We were in Hawaii, and she had stayed back at the hotel while I went off to a meeting, and she picked the book up, began to read it, started reading, and the bed began to shake. And, it sort of frightened her, but she figured maybe it was an earthquake, and so she put the book down, did some other things, picked the book up again and began to read it, and the bed began to shake. Well, needless to say, she didn't finish reading the book in the room there. But we've always remembered that. This book will really introduce you to the other dimension. It's written by Malachi Martin. As you know, subsequently we came to know Malachi, and we have a 4-tape set of interviews with him. You need to get that 4-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. You need to get the book, Hostage to the Devil, and you can get them together at a decreased price, but we think it's important because it will introduce you to what this is really all about. There is another dimension. There are demonic forces. There are people who are demonically possessed, and some of them, unfortunately, are in key positions within our industrial, within our banking, within our government. So understand that we're being manipulated towards World War III. Until we understand who the enemy is, it's a spiritual battle, we can't be effective in this battle. So my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, certainly Hostage to the Devil, and the 4-tape set on The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, important tools in your armamentarium of understanding what's going on. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get one of our newsletters free, certainly my May newsletter deals with the truth about immigration. I think it's probably one of the best newsletters we've done. Even my wife really liked that one, and she, of course, added some after I've written them. Our next newsletter dealt with the background, are we a Christian nation? And my latest newsletter, which is the August newsletter, I think you'll find fascinating as we go into what's really going on as far as our move towards World War III. The August newsletter is not available, but you can certainly get the July newsletter. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Are we a Christian nation? What do we mean when we say a Christian nation? And should we have a Christian government? Well, these are all questions that we hope we answer in this newsletter. So if you'd like to get the newsletter, 1-800-544-8927, please go to our website, radioliberty.com, and you can listen to our internet programs there on my network, Radio Liberty Network, and then encourage others to listen. Help them to understand that we're moving towards World War III. And whether they want to or not, they're going to be involved in this battle. So we'll be back with you actually next Monday. Until then, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
The American Freedom Network has a growing list of videos available. We like to show people the good things about life in America. These videos depict great events, inspirational music, and very special people. If you couldn't be here to see them live, call 1-800-205-6245 for title and price information. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read.